welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Are we good? I'm a wee bit throaty this morning, but Barry White. The lurgy has attacked some people. We got calls this morning. Can't go to church. We've got the lurgy. And I just want to say good morning to the people who are watching online. Do you know what struck me last week? We have people. We've got like Tom and Janetta there over in somewhere in America. Tom Knight. He feels like part of the family, Tom, doesn't he? Tom, I hope you're watching this morning. And I hope you're feeling a bit better. He's had a bit of a turn last week. But, you know, last week it really struck me. A couple of things. Number one, last week there were people from Australia, Canada, the US, France, South Africa, and Holland watching. Isn't that crazy? Like, get that around. That's amazing, right? Which made me think, if they're not originally from here, what percentage of what goes on here do you think they actually understand? It kind of struck me going, they probably don't have, people from England as well, and even Newton Ards this morning, the Jordans are sick there down Newton Ards, right? They've got the internet in Newton Ards. It's a miracle, thank you, Lord. And do you know what I mean? Fire. Just terrible, isn't it? But it struck me because somebody said to me this. Do you know, one of the things I love about people from Ireland, North and South is we kind of talk, right? And that are there any times you still hear expressions and you haven't the first clue what they mean? Yes. Like, isn't it amazing? Here I am at 32 years of age and I am still hearing things. I'm still hearing things where I go, what does that mean? So my one from this week was mahogany gas pipes. Have you ever heard that one? I was going to go, yes, Lord, I've got the interpretation. And then I realized they weren't a believer and they weren't giving a tongue. I see your man. I set a mahogany gas pipes up, boy. Can you guess what it means? It means you're useless. Mahogany gas pipes. See, doesn't it make sense once you hear it? And you kind of go, get it. That hands up if you've heard that before. So I wasn't thick then. Apparently that is something that has been said, although now I'm doubting it because here we have a whole bunch of people from Belfast and beyond and we've never heard it. But isn't it funny? There's things that you hear and you go, I get it now. I see it now, right? And once it's explained to us, we kind of go, of course, why didn't I see that before? Mahogany gas pipes. It's something that I'll probably use from now on. And it just makes me chuckle. There was loads of them. And why was I saying that? I have no idea. Yes, that's what it is. There's things that you hear, right? There's things that I was thinking, what is he talking about? Help him, Jesus, first thing this morning. There's things that you hear and you kind of go, only like after the event, you go, of course, it makes sense. I understand it now. And I'm going to talk about that today, actually, because I am asking you, will you dare to believe God in the days that we live in? Because, you know, actually, folks, it strikes me. We're in this week two of just looking at some things around Gideon. But I said last week, I'm just going to unpack something today, which some of you may have heard before. And I don't care about that. It's not do I know it, but it's do I know it? Do you see the difference? The Christian world is full of people. Oh, I've heard that, right? But show me the man or the woman who lives it. And then you've got my attention. Do you get that? Because actually, week after week, and whenever you listen and whenever you receive teaching, it's not about some ready reckoning on the board where you simply tick up knowledge and go, yes, I know that, tick, all right? Because when Jesus was talking about knowledge, there's a number of words in the Bible that he uses for knowledge and understanding. But the one that really got his attention was the word that was to experience. So to know through experience. And whenever Jesus said, I want you to know me, he didn't want you to be able to recite a set of facts or theology about him. He wanted you to go, I want you to know what it's like to live me every day. To live my grace every day. To live my goodness every day. To live my promise every day. Does that make sense? And so if you're sitting here this morning going, oh, flip, tick, just slow down and say, Lord, I need to hear something a bit different here today. Move me from that place of just gnosis, this bit of head knowledge, to actually genosko is exactly the word. Move me to that place where I live, feel, breathe you in my life. Somebody give me an amen for that this morning. Isn't that good? And so that's what we're going to talk about. Because I was talking about, actually, we've got a choice, right? Are you going to dare to believe God in the days that we live in? What does it mean to allow grace to bring you to a place? Remember I said last week about knocking the doors and then kind of feeling the tension as, you know, you knew, like, dares you. Okay, he's dared me. I have to do it, you know? And then you come home and your mother would say, if he told you to stick your head in the fire, would you? Actually, I probably would have at that point, you know, because peer pressure is a terrible thing, isn't it? But it's interesting when you have a choice. You and I, it strikes me. Do you know what strikes me every day when I think about what the world's like today? I go, we simply as believers have a choice to make. One of the things about grace has set us free, according to the book of Romans, from the power of sin and death. Do you get that? So sin is broken in our lives. We are not involved in some cosmic yin and yang between good and evil in our lives. That's not what grace says. Grace says you have been set free from the power of sin and from the power of death. And actually, that's why I love the gospel of grace, because any other gospel will have you back in a cycle of law and trying, which reinforces the very thing that you're trying to break free from. But actually, what grace does is it completely turns the whole thing around and says, no, that power in you, you're not a sinner. I'm going to talk about this today. Listen to me. You are not a sinner. You're not a failure. You are not weak. You are not feeble. You are not on the way to becoming something that will please the Lord. You are already there right now. As he is, so are you right in this moment. So what grace does is grace says you are free from sin. You're free from those things. And actually what that means is that we then get a choice. And this is why sometimes, you know, with grace, I just go, it's funny, isn't it? Because people go, oh, grace will make you do all crazy stuff. People who preach grace, well, you better be careful. And I kind of go, actually, grace is for grown-ups. Because we don't have excuse. If I'm under the law, I've got an excuse. Do you understand that? I've got an excuse because I can never live up to it. I can never do. You know, I heard someone say, I'll move on. You don't have, under law, you've got every excuse under the sun to live like a failure and to live defeated. Because there is nothing in you and ever will be in you that can ever get you to that place of being able to walk in holiness and true righteousness. Why? Because it's a gift that's given to you. But once we receive, then we get to choose it. We get to choose righteousness. We get to choose grace. Because the power of everything that held us back from it is broken. And so that's why I go, grace is for grown-ups. Actually, sometimes law would be brilliant, but I go, because I know fine rightly, under the law, I'm never going to make it. And under one bit of the law, being guilty, that performance mentality, when I say law, that's what I mean. That thing of I do, then God does for me. I do in order to receive from God. Well, I've got the best excuse ever, because I know I'm going to fail. I know that I'm going to get it wrong. And so I can just put my hands up and go, it's not my fault. It's almost like a big boy did it and ran away. But under grace, I get to choose. And that's really important for what I'm going to talk about today, because I was talking about Gideon, and that's how you can dare to believe, because all the promises of grace are there for you to choose. Okay? And every time under grace you choose Jesus, the whole of heaven is there for you to bring that to pass in your life. Do you get that? And so I was talking about Gideon last week, and I was saying, like, here he is. He's this guy. He's pretty weak, pretty feeble. He's hiding away in a place of judgment. Remember that? And the angel of the Lord, a theophany, Jesus himself probably, appearing to him. And what I said was, you can be angry with God. You can be hiding away. And in the days that we live in, most of us are, and most believers, I think, we're going through a lot of the motions of church. And, you know, but we don't live life from the outside. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. We are not called to live life that way around. In fact, even the world has, the secular psychologists even understand that. Way back in the 60s, a guy called Rotter started to talk about this thing called locus of control, and he started to talk about how you've got two choices. And I'm kind of going, this was in the Word from the very beginning. You either live from the outside in, and that means your circumstances, people, everything else that's going around gets to impact on who you are and how well you do. And it's almost this thing of responsibility doesn't lie with me, responsibility lies outside of me. And so if my partner was better, then I'd be happier. If I had more money, then I would be happier. If this was, and it's all out there affects what goes on in here. That's the way the world lives. That's what Gideon was doing when the Lord appears to him here. When the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon, he is all in the cycle of defeat. Why? Because he had abdicated his own responsibility and abdicated in one sense. Well, he had never had it up until this point. He had never seen actually how God works in his life. He'd never seen, never experienced it. So all he knew was outside in living. That's what goes on in the world today. And let me tell you, you will never believe for anything You'll never have the power to believe for anything whenever everything that goes on in your world is determined by somebody else. Do you get that? You will be pulled from pillar to post. Now, I'm not saying that what people do can have an impact on you. Of course it can. But there is a better way. And that better way is to live with grace on the inside, because grace doesn't start on the outside. Grace goes right to the core of who you are and calls you to live from a different place. Now, Gideon hasn't understood that, because what's happening is the Lord prophesies. Remember I said, what does the Lord do for you? When the Lord comes along, Gideon's going, I'm really fed up. Tell us all these stories again. I dead on, to paraphrase Belfast expression. Frankly, he's got an attitude. And not only does he have an attitude of like, where are you, God? He then blames God. Remember that? Where are you in the middle of all this? And I said to you, you've probably thought that at times. I stepped out. I did because, God, I know that you told me. And it's turned into a complete mess, or it's not what I ever thought it would be, or it hasn't been what I had in my heart and my mind. And it's your fault. Now, I might not be as bold as to put my fist into the air and shake my hand at you, but there's something in me that lives with this quiet disappointment that maybe, just maybe, he didn't come up with the goods for me. Right? To be honest, that's okay. We're under grace. And what happens is the Lord steps into that space and doesn't go, oh, there, it's terrible. Now, if you need comfort and you need that, the Lord's there to comfort you. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But what he does in our mess is he prophesies our future. Do you get that? The Lord steps into, he wants to step in, see where you are today. Right now, whatever's going on with you, whatever's going around, when the Lord steps into your life, he doesn't leave you where you are. He lifts your head up to go, this is where I am calling you to go. And you are a mighty man of valor. And Gideon's probably going, who's he talking to? Is he not listening? Lord, are you not listening? All this is going on, and what you're saying is mighty man of valor, destroyer. His name means destroyer. Remember that? That was brilliant. And so what happens is, you know, at the point, now listen to me, this is the point I want to make today. At the point where the Lord is going to lift you up today and go, that's what I've called you for. Do you think I've finished with you? Honestly. Do you think the Lord's finished with you? If you've got breath in your body this morning, your best days are in front of you. Amen. Somebody give me a bigger amen than that. If you have up, vertical and above ground today, your best days are in front of you. Right? That's what the Lord says. And I think that actually most of us we kind of go, yes, I get that, but then we don't see how it works. And it's not to process grace, but it's to understand that we don't buy in, because what Gideon's doing, he's buying into the narrative of 21st century world, actually, which is everything on the outside is determining how I'm doing on the inside. COVID, pandemic, financial future, interest rates, sickness, blah, 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 blah. And here we have Christians essentially trying to bat it off, like batting it off with grace, instead of going, grace goes right to the core of you and will fundamentally change your view and perspective of what's going on. You live from a different place. So shall we see it here? Is that okay? Is that a good, that's a bit of an introduction. Because I think most of us are like Jekyll and Hyde. You know, we try to be super saints, don't we? We want to do our best, and then we feel so very carnal at the next moment. And the result is that, you know, most of us feel like we're never quite making the mark. We're always kind of going around, and we should have been better. We should have learned it by now. Oh, here we are, going around the same old mountains. We've got good days where we feel up, and bad days where we don't feel so good at all. And we have this cycle of defeat, emotionally and spiritually, at times that we live in. And, you know, I want to say this. I'm going to show you. There's something that the Lord does here, which I just think flipped me. How many times last week did I even myself need to come back to this place to go, I've got the order wrong. I've got the order wrong. Because in Romans 5:17, it says this. Let's get into it. For if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. That's Adam. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace, unmerited favor, and the gift of righteousness, means to be completely acceptable to God, will what? Will reign in life. Right? This word reign is a really interesting word. It's basileo in Greek, and it means to exercise the power of a king. And so what's happening here with Gideon, a bit like standing in a place of judgment, in defeat, frightened for his future, not being able to believe, kind of not wanting to trust God. Well, can't trust God even though he might want to. Where does the Lord start? He obviously speaks identity to him because he goes, actually, the way that you're going to walk into the future that I am prophesying over you is not through navigating outward circumstances and seeing them change first. It's about understanding what I've done in you and allowing that to change your outward circumstances. Because we live from the inside out. Many of us, even under grace, with the promise of grace, we almost want to step by what the Lord's, how we grow into grace by going, Lord, just change this bit. I don't like this. And we, you know, I don't like that. I don't like this. And the Lord knows, and he's good. Okay? So I'm not knocking that. But for real everlasting change, on the outside, we've got to align with what he did on the inside of us. Do you get that? And not the other way around. Because you're actually called to exercise the power of a king. That's who God says you are. Now, let's put this into context. Even today, we know that, you know, I was checking this last week, over a third, about nearly 40% of the UK population is losing sleep to anxiety at the minute. Nearly three out of seven adults have sought medical attention in the last 2 to 3 years for stress-related ailments. Depression and anxiety have overtaken physical ailments as the chief cause of long-term sickness in the UK, and in Northern Ireland, we're 20% higher than that. And about 60% of people say that they are unhappy with their lives in some significant way. Isn't that crazy? Now, it's not pointing the finger or judging, but going, we're sitting here this morning, comfortable in this lovely church, with the power of God, his gospel of grace, to change this. Because a lot of that, what we see on that big narrative, is because people don't know how to navigate what's going on around them. And so they get lost. A total lack of control over their lives, and they get lost. And what would we find here? How do you dare to believe? We'll start with identity. That's the point. Slow it all down, okay? Know that everything going on around you in your world this week is already taken care of by the Lord, and start to understand, right, that the key to seeing the future that grace prophesies over you is rooted in who you are. Because when I say who are you, you'll probably come at me with facts and figures. I'm this, I belong to this family, I'm married, I've got this, I've got the other. And that's all really important, okay? I understand that. But identity is not that stuff. Identity is who we were created to be. And we need to understand what the work of grace has done to bring us back to that point. Because, you know, if you live according to who you see yourself to be, right? Even secular psychologists agree this, that people who have done what they describe as the inner work, we just call it being transformed by Jesus, right? But when actually what happens is your outer world starts to reflect what's going on your inner world. And quite a lot of the time, if we have to be honest, a lot of what we see going on around us is simply as a result of what's in us. That's not to make anyone feel bad. It's to go, that's why grace is so fantastic. Now, I know that particularly in churches, we can fool most of the people some of the time. But we know ourselves, don't we? We know what's really going on. We know our B-roll. We know what's not on the Instagram page or the Facebook page. Isn't that right? And we know what other people don't see. And so this is not about ticking boxes again and going, well, I can pretend to be something. But having like this honest to God conversation with Jesus and so going, show me, all right? Not what anyone else says, not what they say, not what was said about me, not what I may think on any particular good day or bad day, but reveal to me what you have done in me. Because my outer world will surely never change substantially or permanently unless it happens in me first. Do you get that? And I kind of think that's why the angel does this with Gideon. Gideon, you're going to do amazing things. Just put your own name in there. David, you're going to do amazing things. You get that? That's the call of God. That's grace. It's not because you're smart. It's not because you're better. Mark, you know, your future's massive. Colin, Kyle. You know, it's like, but where does it start? It starts in here. It starts in here. With this increasing revelation, understanding, and having your heart and your life moved by what Jesus did in you. Let me just give you some helpful hints in this. It says in Ephesians 1:17, what does Paul pray here for the church? He says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So when he's praying, what he's praying is not interesting to see what he does. I'm not praying that you get more money. I'm not praying that you get this. I'm not praying that you get that. He's praying that your heart and your mind would be so expanded with what Jesus has done in you. Because from that place, everything else flows. It's like Pastor Prince says, isn't it? Like, I love it. It's not the least use of our faith is for stuff and for things. The real use of our faith is for righteousness. And that's what Paul's praying here. His only prayer here is like the length, the breadth, and the depth, and the height of God's love. He goes on to talk about, but he says, what do I want for you? I want your eyes, the eyes of your heart, your inner space, lubab in Hebrew. I want that inner, like, visceral part of you to really see what Jesus has done. Because when that happens, boom, it all flows. All flows. But I think that many of us struggle or daring to believe because our focus is on the external and not on what he's done on the internal. And then we can't dare to believe because we're up and down like fiddler's elbows. Isn't that right? One day good, one day not so good. One day more. And we're living out this kind of roller coaster. Anyone? Or is that just me? Like, flip me, I'm a pastor and I'm saying it. So I would tell you, and anyone says they're not, they're spoofers. Work that one out, internet world. A spoofer. Get to Googling that, Tom Knight, and see what you come up with, all right? Amanda Carmichael in Australia. What's a spoofer, mate? That was a good Australian accent, wasn't it? G'day, mate. Skippy. Hey, Skippy. Put a couple of chops on the barbie. Is that racist? I don't know. You have to be so careful these days. If you can't slag off Australians, I don't know. What's the world coming to? The French got it last week, didn't they? This week it's Australians. Who knows what? All I'd like to say is I'm an equal opportunities offender. I'll slag you off no matter where you're from. So I'm not fussy. Do you know what? Anyway, now may the God of peace, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may, listen to this. This is what Gideon is receiving from the Lord in this moment. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I guess what I need to really encourage you with in grace today, and it's something where I continually remind myself, but Hebrews 10:14 says this, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. The bit of you that is perfect and is complete, all the transformation that we hear about in grace, all right, is done in your inner, in your spirit. So when he prays body, soul, and spirit, the way of the world today is to live in your soul, right? And in your body, because that's where we pick up most of the things through our senses. Isn't that right? Things touch, and then we feel, oh my goodness. Because body and soul being your emotions, your feelings, feel very real. We actually feel it. You felt anxious this week. You probably got sweaty. Your heart, you know, pounded. Anyone? Or you're all just dead holy, right? But whenever you receive the work of grace, right, what happens is, That work of deep transformation, in Hebrews 10 where it says, you have been perfected forever, didn't happen in your body and didn't happen in your soul. It happened in your inner man, in your spirit. Because that's the bit of you that's eternal. That's the bit of you that will live forever. And actually your soul and your body on those more external things that we have, you know, going on with the world will be transformed and changed to the degree that we renew our mind, our attitudes, and our beliefs to what God says he's done in that inner part of us. Because the bit of you that will live forever is not your body. You get a new one, right? Your emotions and stuff, they pass away, but your spirit never does. That's the bit that Jesus came for. Do you get that? And so his work is done in your spirit. That's the breath of God in you. That's what makes us different from all the animals. Do you get that? That's why there'll be no dogs in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, controversial. I got you spoken up. So what happens is this. If you live with your body and your soul dominating you, you'll never dare to believe for anything. And that's why the Lord speaks into Gideon at the very beginning. I'm prophesying your great future, man. This is what I'm calling you for. But this is why I am calling you mighty man of valor. You can't see it with your eyes yet. You can't feel it with your hands yet. You can't sense it with anything yet. But I don't live in that realm, the Lord says. I can work in that realm and touch you in that realm. But my work is done on a different plane. It's deep on the inside of who you are. The bit of you that will live forever. The bit of you that will be with me in eternity with a new body put around it. That bit, I came for the, your spirit to transform you into my very likeness. And in that place, let that revelation, may your eyes be enlightened to that, and then live from the inside out. Do you get that? I love this. I love this truth. Because if you're in the process of trying to get, you know, stuff from God, if you like, but, you know, stop wasting your time. Like, align with what the truth is of what he's done in your spirit, man. And then from that place, everything will flow. Your future flows from in there, not from anywhere else. So quit buying into the narrative of the world with outside in living and start to live inside out. Let me just help you with what the word says. I love these. So if I was to ask you then, who are you? Let me just give you some verses. Write these down. Ephesians 4:24 says this, put on the new man, right? Which was created. So when something is created, what does that mean? It means it didn't exist before. Do you get that? He didn't say put on the new man, which I've cobbled together, made out of your old stuff. Do you hear me? It's really important. Sometimes we just go too quick. He says, I've created a new man, created according to God in true righteousness and true holiness. Right? This new man, put on the new man, is the word anthropos. It means you are conformed to the nature of God. This is, I could preach for 2 weeks on this one alone, all right? But what do you put on in the morning? Do you put on fear? Do you put on worry? Do you put on doubt? Do you put on an anxiety? Do you put on effort? Do you put on performance? Or do you, figuratively speaking, make a choice to go, today, whatever is going on out there, I have been created according to true righteousness and holiness. It is the gift of grace to me. I didn't do anything for it. I couldn't supply it in any way myself. But the Lord says today, I get to choose this. So in my moments of weakness, in my moments of failure, in my moments of worry, in that space, I can either choose to step in and reinforce those things by pursuing them and allowing them to live rent-free in my head. Or in that moment, I can say, right now, I am truly righteous before God. I'm totally acceptable to him. No matter what's going on, no matter what I'm up to, no matter what I'm doing, whatever it happens to be, it does not change one bit who you are. So put that on every day. I love it. He then goes on to say in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we know this verse, for he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us. Why? So that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What he's saying is this, this word diakosuna, it means integrity, virtue, purity of life. This is what righteousness means here. Correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. Isn't that incredible? So what he says is, because Jesus took all of that mess and that sin and that failure and all of the anxiety and the worry, he took it from you, and instead he's given you integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking and feeling, acting, because your condition is completely acceptable to God. Do you know why that's important? Because when you know that, when you stand on that, if I can't believe God for anything, if I stand on a place which is completely shaky, do you know why? Why would God bless me if I'm a sinner? Why would God would just live in continual disappointment with me? Well, I'm not going to bless you because you keep screwing it up. Flip me. But if I stand boldly, as it says, I come before the throne of God boldly, right? Which is every day, it's our posture. And I can stand here and go, yes, of course I got it wrong. Yes, of course I didn't think it right. Of course I said the wrong thing. Of course I allowed worry to come. You know, but that's all my outside stuff. That's my soul, but in my spirit, the bit that Jesus transformed through his work of grace is as pure, untarnished, untouched as it will ever be. He perfected that forever. And there's no condemnation. There is no lie. There's no attack of the enemy can ever take that away from you. Nothing. And you stand in that place. And do you know what the result is? The result is faith to believe that your outside world will change corresponding to what's gone on the inside. The Lord prophesies identity to Gideon before as the precursor for everything that he will walk into. Because it's identity and the root of knowing that you are God's son forever, God's daughter forever. It's never going to change. Once you are saved and in the meeting, to use another bell, saved and in the meeting, they're Googling away there. What does that mean? Well, if you grew up with any kind of brethren impact in your life in Northern Ireland, you know what that means. As soon as you've received the Lord, as soon as you've received his goodness, there is no way that you can undo it. Do you get me? Sometimes call it once saved, always saved. You better believe it because being saved has nothing to do with you anyway. If your mess was not strong enough to turn the Lord away, his face away from you, what makes you think that now that you are saved, actually the word says, how much more does he love you? Do you think that your mess is going to undo what Jesus did in the cross for you? Not one bit. Not one tiny bit. You're saved forever. Now that will cause you to believe. That will cause you to believe. That will cause faith to rise up in you. There's somebody who needs to get the chicken out of the oven or something. Take your tablet. Who is that? Is that your wee reminder to get your tablet in? 1 John 4:17, I've already said it. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness, right? Remember, where's Gideon? He's on the threshing floor, the place of judgment, all right? You just see this interplay the whole way through the word, all right? And, you know, love has been perfected among us that we may have boldness in the day of judgment because as is he, so are we in this world. Not when we get to heaven, but right now, as he is, so are you. Let me tell you something. Think about your body and where you're sick today and ask yourself the question, is Jesus sick in that part of his body? Is he? Now that's your declaration of faith. That's your choice to go, right now, Jesus doesn't have this condition, so as he is, so am I. Speak it in faith. Amen? Amen. Right now, does the Lord have any lack? No. You go, but look at this. Look at this outside. And I go, yeah, but when we deal with the lack on the inside, then the outside will follow. Do you get that? It's so counterintuitive to the way that we live today, but it's what the Lord says. Is this okay? Is this helping anyone this morning? God is spirit, it says in John 4:24, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. This is the word pneuma, all right? And so this kind of tripartite thing of how we're built, three parts, is really, really understanding. Because I'll tell you this, unless you really understand the whole thing of God made us three ways, but his work was done, the work of transformation was done in the innermost part, the Bible will make no sense to you at all. Grace actually makes no sense to you at all because we still live in this world where we're dominated by body and soul. So pneuma is our innermost part. Psyche is the word here, body, soul, and spirit. Psyche is how is the seat of our feelings, desires, affections, emotions, and body is soma. What I want to say to you is this, that I'll go quickly here. Is that it says in John 3:6 actually that which is born of the flesh is flesh and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So what it kind of means is this, there's no direct link, no connection according to scripture between the body and, do you know what I mean? So what happens is the transformation goes on the inside and it affects everything else. That's what John said, because the two are separate. Right? And so for me, whenever I started to understand this years ago, What it helped me to go is that I'll never understand spiritual reality the wrong way around. I only understand spiritual reality when the eyes of my heart are enlightened to what Jesus did on the inside of me. And so I turn my heart to that. I turn my focus to that. I put my seat of my attention, my desire onto that. And I trust God with the rest. Or the other side, to turn that around is you can go, well, do you know what I'll do? Is I'll fight my battles on the outside and bring the Lord in at some point because I know that's what I need to do. Or I can just slow down and go, if he really loves me, if his grace is really true, do you know what? All you have to do this week, and I mean all you have to do this week, is rest and relax in this simple truth that you have been created according to true righteousness. Now, what you're going to see in this story as it goes on is Gideon, man, he kills it. He knocks this thing out of the park. He completely makes a mess the whole way along. It's almost like you see in Gideon, it's a brilliant story because there's doubt everywhere with him, you know? It's not like it's a one-time deal. That's what I'm trying to say. Oh, yes, I received that word in 1978, brother, in a meeting. I was sitting four rows from the back, and the brother preached it, and I received it. Nonsense. Let's just get real. Can we all get real for a minute and go, we're all on the journey of this? But you know, honestly, the older I get, I am so, so less enamored with outside stuff at this point in my life than what I've ever been anywhere, genuinely. And just, like, even, I'll tell you how it works for me generally, because you kind of go, well, what does it look like? You know, you probably got that question. What does it look like for you? So something happens, something said, what the world will call an activating event. Something just pops in, email, thought, driving along. You think about someone, you want to kill them, that sort of thing, no? Too honest? Oh, come on, don't leave me hanging here. Or you might not want to kill them, but you just want to... Is kill too strong? Let's give the Germans a wee rattle here. They've got a word called Schadenfreude. Do you know what that means? You're learning loads. Schadenfreude is where you take delight in somebody else's misery. No, all right. So Schadenfreude is when you hear bad news and you go, "Well, what happened to them? Oh, that's terrible." Do you know what I mean? Anyone? So what happens to me, right? So what you can do, it's good to, look, be honest about it. No point in lying. We don't want it. I'm not saying it's okay, by the way. I'm not giving you permission this morning to go, brilliant. Pastor said on Sunday, do you know what? If you hate somebody, kill them. That's not what I'm saying, right? Just for clarity and for the purpose of the table. Oh, flip, this is live. You can be cut and edited. No, I guess what I'm trying to say is this. For me in real life, at this stage, remember I said way back in, like, daring to believe, like, I said, I have this feeling and I don't know why, but our next decade's our best decade ever. Do you get that? And I kind of put myself out there to go, oh, we'll see how it works out for you, big fella. But I think what's going on is at a corresponding level, I'm so less focused on outside stuff. And it's weird what happens. Because, do you know what I mean? It's not like I live in a bubble. Like, I go to work, I run a business, I do church, that stuff. Loads going on. But there's something on the inside of me goes, no matter what is coming my way, right? And God knows there's a lot of it at times. I have found myself, even over lockdown, growing to the place of going, I'm just righteous. What does righteousness say about this? And finding my heart and my head and my thinking going to that place first. And going, when you transformed me, right, what did that mean for me? Well, what it means is I don't have to be anxious. Okay. Now, my feelings sometimes are still there. But they're less now about, when Penny and I talk about the future, it's probably with the most careless abandon than what we've ever done as a couple over 24 years of being married. Isn't that true? And it actually leads to excitement. Why? Because we know that because we stand in a place of righteousness, then every day we can say our best days are still to come. And so there's less worry about, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from now. It's funny, like I saw my accountant recently, just tidying up accounts for the business. And he was talking about pensions and all the rest of it. And I had this wee moment of going, crap, I don't even know what my pension's like. Do I even have a pension? What's that? And then I just felt the Lord go, seriously? What are you going to, here you are at 36 years of age. Like, what are you going to, I know it keeps changing, it's a moving target, but bear with me, right? What the heck are you worrying about? Something that's, you don't have grace for 15 years down the road, 20 years down the road. You have grace for today. And you know, tomorrow, you'll have grace for that. And what you do is you choose my grace every day because you're righteous, you're never going to live in lack. You're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So my heart just goes, brilliant. So what do I concentrate on today? Jesus, you love me. I'm loved. I'm flipping loved today. I'm righteous today. That's who I am. And you know what? I might end up killing things like destroyer, as in Gideon, not because I don't like people, right? Just for the purposes of the tape. We could walk into our best decade ever. Because I feel that's what the Lord's prophesying over us and over you. Do you get that? That's not just about me. That's about what God's doing in you. Go and see your next decade. It's the best one. Whether you're 30 or 60 or 70, or it doesn't matter. It's all in front of you. You're gonna, and you'll walk into it day by day. Walk into it day by day. But you're not going to walk into it because you're batting it off like the world is. You'll walk into it. Why? Because every day you go, I am who he says I am. He loves me. He cares for me. He protects me. He provides for me. He heals me. He sets my feet on a rock. He pushes back the work of the enemy as it comes against me. Every day he says, I love you with an everlasting love. Why? Because that is who I am. And I've changed it from the inside out. And the church said, amen. Amen. So your grace prophesies about your future starts with the revelation of who you are. Is that a good word this morning? Amen. Why don't you stand to your feet online as well? Get ready. We're going to, what we're going to do is, why don't we take communion together? Pen, can you pass me the thing? And then we're going to sing one song to finish. And we're going to do our offering. In fact, we'll do our offering through worship, guys, okay? So for all people who are watching online, as we do the last song, have a watch for how you can give online, okay? But take communion in your hands this morning. And online, if you have your communion with you, we're going to blast that song of declaration, I am who you say I am. Amen, church, to finish today. And what we're going to do is we're going to take this bread in our hands. Okay, they all know. We're going to take this bread in our hands. Hold it in front of you and say, Lord, thank you for your body broken for me. Thank you that today, because of your finished work of grace, Lord, in my body, I am healed, I am whole, I am fit, and I am healthy. Thank you, Lord, that from the inside out, you renew me and renew my youth. And so, Father, we eat today in Jesus' name and say, thank you. Whatever condition you have, just say, Lord, thank you for healing me off, okay? Say it and eat and believe that you receive your healing in Jesus' name. And Father, we take the cup. Father, we thank you that this is the covenant of your blood, Lord. We thank you for the grace that we receive through this covenant of grace, and we receive it today. Thank you, Father, that you've created all of us absolutely acceptable to you. Absolutely, in no way, Lord, is there anything in us, Father, which causes you to turn your face from us. And it's all because of this cup. It's all because that blood poured out, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins, past, present, and future. And so I speak righteousness over you, church. I speak holiness over you. I speak confidence that you can believe that this week you're going to walk in to the goodness of God in the land of the living because of this work. Amen. Amen, church.